Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Regular host Mark King is out for his, every 3 month family vacation? All joking aside, regular host Mark King is out on family vacation. And so long time no see. Sean Coleman here. Mark gives me a pleasure of jumping in for him when he is out of town. And so it's very much a pleasure to join y'all again. Been a while since I've been on the show, and I am very happy to share the spotlight with one Grant Hall, a new part of Locked On Grizzlies, a contributor and good friend of Mark and myself. But Grant, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing good, Sean. How are you?
Can't complain at all, man. Just wrapping up a busy week of football, and for some of us, forgettable Saturday, but hey, a memorable Sunday. So we'll go with that. But Grant, I'm as sure as Mark has mentioned before, Grant and Mark go way back. Grant will be contributing from time to time, I'm sure, on the show and also on the new Patreon page as a source of good writing. I've seen Grant's writing before. I've seen his interactions. One thing you can't compare when it comes to Grant is his passion for the Grizzlies, and I'm sure, in multiple ways he'll be able to enhance, the overall impact of this show. And like we say, the new Patreon page, you can follow the show at Locked On Grizz on Twitter. You can follow Mark at King_producer. You can also follow Grant at Grant, GRANTTIS, and myself, Sean Coleman, at Stats, SAC. That's at STATS. SAC. Now, for those of you who may know me from past shows, you also may know that I am a co-host on the 3&D podcast, which is, going to be a part of the Grizzly Bear Blues podcast network here in the near future. If you listened to our last episode, one thing that we talked about was the Andre Iguodala situation. Since the Grizzlies bought out Dwight Howard, there is now the situation with Andre Iguodala. And there was speculation. We really hadn't heard anything, which was surprising. Well, now we finally have gotten our blip on the radar. Shams, as he typically does on Twitter when it comes to the Grizzlies, released a statement today stating that the Grizzlies are not going to buy out Iguodala. They want him to report to training camp, and they expect for him, obviously, to honor the contract that's in place. Grant, we see this, and we've kind of been waiting to get an update on this. Obviously the Grizzlies this was the marquee move in terms of them acquiring assets, being intelligent, something we'd not seen from our front office in a while. What are your initial thoughts on this? What jumps off the page at you as far as, now us knowing kind of where Iguodala stands in this whole situation?
Well, I mean, I know we were sitting around kind of waiting for a while. We haven't really heard anything as far as, the Grizzlies and Andre Iguodala's relationship goes here for the last several weeks. But I wasn't really too shocked from the report from Shams. I mean, kind of from the get-go, the Grizzlies, just kind of what it seemed like, kind of made it clear that they wanted to, try to find a trade partner and not just immediately buy him out. And I know there was several weeks ago a report say that they were willing to take him into, into training camp and into the regular season if that's what needed to happen to kind of look for that trade partner. So it wasn't a huge shock to me. I know that some people after the Dwight Howard buyout thought that that was what was going to happen with Iggy, but I feel like the Grizzlies kind of made it clear from the get-go that Howard wasn't going to be on the roster as soon as we made that trade for him. It was just kind of a trade for his contract. I know they held on to him for a while just in case they could kind of use his contract, those numbers in a future deal. But they kind of made it clear, in my opinion, that Iguodala was a piece that they thought that it would be worth holding on to try and get some type of piece back. So I honestly wasn't too shocked about it when I heard about it this afternoon.
And it seems like a lot of it is heavy media speculation. You know, whenever you see these type of reports come through Shams or Woj or things such as that, a lot of times it's agent driven by the player, you know, wanting to, you know, force the hand of the team. They want to gain leverage of some sort because Iguodala knows that he really doesn't have leverage in this situation. He was on a team in the Golden State Warriors who did not want his contract because they wanted to go elsewhere with their moves. They traded a first along with Iguodala to Memphis. Memphis really doesn't have a need for Iguodala because they're a rebuilding team who really doesn't have a need for a $17 million dollar player who's 35 years old and, you know, certainly would be better on a contender. But Memphis was smart in making the move to use the availability to take on a contract that they had to gain assets. Plus, they were able to take on an asset for getting him and turn him into an asset again once the man gets going. So the thing that I'll say is this, is that the Grizzlies are not doing anything wrong here. This is not Memphis playing Powerball. This is not Memphis being stubborn. All Memphis is doing is making the most of a situation that they intelligently created. They used a move to set up more moves, and you can't fault them for that. We've seen several people who have come out and already said, you know, Memphis is simply doing what they can with an asset. That's how you do rebuilds right. And so that's why I think that it should be completely understood Memphis is not in the wrong here. I just don't see how you could spin it any other way. Sure, fans from other teams, media members from other teams, they may want to sit there and play the card, well, Memphis is just being petty and stubborn. No, they're not. They're being smart. They're being intelligent. And if you want to badmouth that, go ahead. Because that's the way small market teams operate when they're trying to get back to being sustainable winners. You've got to take advantage of every asset you know you can get your hands on. That's from the Memphis side of things, Grant. But the thing about it is that there still has to be some type of awareness, some type of attention to the fact that this is a player's league. And Andre Iguodala is rightfully one of the most respected players out there. But when you really think about it, do you feel that this could get to the point to where there could be a significant hit on Memphis's reputation? You know, a reputation, you know, in and of itself that's never really been strong when it comes to player management.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think there's the possibility of that. I mean, you don't want a crazy situation kind of like we just saw with Antonio Brown and the Raiders. Obviously, Andre Iguodala is not Antonio Brown, so I'm not making that comparison. But you don't want to have anything crazy going on with that. I think in a perfect world, you know, Andre Iguodala comes here. He's a veteran presence in the locker room. And then around, you know, trade deadline, we move him to a contender and get what we can back. I think if that were to happen where, you know, the Grizzlies kind of forced Iguodala, you know, his hand and he had to stay here, come to training camp, play to start the season and then possibly get moved around the trade deadline. I think, you know, at the end of the season, no one's going to remember that the Grizzlies, you know, held him, quote unquote, hostage. I think if we were to move him to a contender like the Lakers or the Clippers or whomever it might be, people would forget about it. Now, unless Andre Iguodala does something, you know, kind of similar to Allen Iverson when he was here and Lionel Hollins refused to put him in the starting lineup if Andre Iguodala started making a big scene about, you know, the Grizzlies not, you know, buying him out of his contract and letting him go elsewhere if he starts talking, you know, in the media or after games or stuff like that. I don't think you want it to get to that point. And I guess that's something that potentially could happen. I just don't feel like Andre Iguodala is that type of player who would, put that kind of spotlight on himself and on the team. I also just feel like, I mean, as respected as he is as a player and as great of a career as he's had, he's no Allen Iverson or Carmelo Anthony or that type of player. I mean, he's had a great career, but he's also won NBA championships with the Warriors. It's not like if we were to keep him here and even not trade him at the deadline that we would be keeping him from, you know, going after his first NBA titles. He's obviously won multiple with the Warriors. So I don't really, like you said, I don't think the Grizzlies are doing anything wrong or anything they shouldn't be. But if it were to get to a situation where Andre Iguodala, I think it would be problematic if he started making a kind of a big deal publicly, kind of about the Grizzlies not letting him go, if that makes sense.
Yeah, the best way that I can describe it is that I don't think Andre Iguodala is Jimmy Butler to the point that he's just going to completely try to unravel the any type of team chemistry that's there. But I also don't think that he's Vince Carter, you know, someone who is perfectly fine, you know, continuing to play basketball just for any chance that he gets. Plus, you know, being a mentor for young players. I think Andre Iguodala is a good professional. I think that he's someone that is outspoken. I think that he will make his, you know, desires known. But I feel like that you hit the nail on the head. At this point in time, okay, you know, it's out there. You know, so something that a lot of people expected. Nobody ever expected for Andre Iguodala to be, you know, satisfied with staying in Memphis when he can go elsewhere. But at this point, it's how it ends. And I think that the Grizzlies should continue to be active trying to make a move, you know, trying to move Iguodala if he really wants to be moved before the season. But there's more incentive for Iguodala and the Grizzlies if they waited until December or maybe until the trade deadline. And here's why. I mentioned it on the 3 and D podcast. With Iguodala, one of the things that comes into play is he may want to go to certain teams right now. But if he goes now, there's a longer time frame. There's 8 months before the playoffs. There's a chance that wherever he goes, he could wind up in a situation that didn't play out the way that he thought. This team doesn't truly become a title contender due to lack of development or to injury. The other thing that comes along with it is that if he goes to another team and they use him a lot, he could become tired. He could increase his chance of being injured, so on and so forth. I think that if the Grizzlies make sure to make Iguodala understand, listen, at the end of the day, we're going to make this work for you. We're going to do everything in our power to make the most of this situation for you. We just need for you to cooperate with us until then. I think there's benefit for Iguodala. The Grizzlies can rest him. And with the fact that he'll be traded, you know, in December, maybe February, closer to playoff time, he has more certainty he'll go to a situation where he truly will be in the playoffs. So I think it comes down to that. I think that communication and seeing it through to the end are the two biggest things. If the Grizzlies can make Iguodala understand that they have his best interest in mind, but are simply doing it in a way in which they can combine his best interest with them getting assets, plus they communicate with him and make sure that he knows what's going on at all phases, that I think really is the way to go about doing it. The final thing I'll ask you about this, though, Grant, and really looking at this situation, the difference between this front office and the previous front offices. Obviously, we don't want this to be a situation like it was with Chandler Parsons, but I think that there should be a spotlight put on Zach Kleiman and the intelligence, the not stubbornness, but the wherewithal about him to not back down in this situation. He's committed to do what's best for the Grizzlies, but he needs to do it in a way, obviously, that makes sense for both parties involved. What are your thoughts on Kleiman's handling of this situation? You know, really the first true test of, you know, the NBA being a player's league that he has had to face.
Yeah, I mean, so far, I mean, obviously from a standpoint of just kind of the moves the Grizzlies have made, Zach Kleiman and that group has just done a phenomenal job as far as even just being able to pick up, you know, Andre Iguodala in that first rounder. And so, I mean, I feel like, you know, I haven't seen Zach Kleiman come out in the public and say anything extensive on the Andre Iguodala situation. There's been some kind of just some generic statements from the Grizzlies that, you know, that they're, you know, planning on bringing him into the season. You know, they traded for him. He's a player on the team. He's on the roster. They're expecting him to be at training camp and just be on the roster. And so I feel like as far as the public view that Zach Kleiman's kind of putting out there is it's almost more or less is more, I guess. And so, I mean, I just feel like as long as, like you were saying, they're communicating with Andre Iguodala behind closed doors, kind of what their long-term plan is kind of the way to go. And so the way things have been going so far with the new front office, I kind of trust that and just kind of all in on the front office right now, just the way this all season has gone. If it was still Chris Wallace at the helm, I would expect Chris Wallace to kind of be out there and publicly stating that, you know, that their plan is for Andre Iguodala to come and compete and help the team get to, you know, a playoff spot is kind of how I would feel Chris Wallace would be going about it and just acting as if there's no potential for a trade. So I think Zach Kleiman's smart. He's shown that. He's been very savvy in the offseason with basically every move that we've seen the Grizzlies make, and it's kind of had a domino effect of, you know, the Mike Conley move brought in picks, and it also freed up space for them to make other moves like this one. So I kind of think that he's off to a great start, and just kind of expecting the same thing to continue forward.
And I agree completely. I think that keeping stuff close to the vest, not focusing on the negative about things, but keeping focus on how the situation can be resolved for both parties to successfully come out of it, you know, with benefit, I think makes a lot of sense. That wraps up the first part of this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Me and Grant will be right back with you. We're going to talk about an exciting time that happened over this past weekend with the release of the NBA 2K20 video game. We'll be right back with you here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Obviously, a lot to talk about in the first segment with the Andre Iguodala news that broke tonight. Hopefully, we'll see that situation play out in a positive way for both parties involved. But speaking of a party, Grant, this past weekend, I know I was excited. I know that you, being a father, your ability to be excited due to limited ability to play may not be on the same level as mine. But overall, NBA 2K20 was released this past weekend. I know I was right there to buy it on opening night, have played it some, and very pleased despite all the rumors of complaints that you may hear out there. But the reason why I was so excited to buy it was because it was it's a big difference now when it comes, I feel, to how this game displays the Grizzlies and, you know, how the Grizzlies roster is able to make the most of this, or how the Grizzlies roster is portrayed on NBA 2K20. Grant, you've played 2K games now for several years. Typically, when you've played these games and you've seen how the Grizzlies have been portrayed, what are your thoughts? What are the things that you've seen from the Grizzlies roster over the years as it's portrayed through 2K?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been playing 2K for a while now. Like you said, as of late, you know, got two little girls, 2 and 3 years old. It's kind of hard to pick up the controller and play for several hours like I used to. But back when, I guess when I first really got into 2K was when I was in college, and I think it was like 2K7, 2K8, and 2K9 were kind of the ones I was playing the most back then. And so back then it was, you know, I mean, when I was in college, in that 4-year stretch was when the Grizzlies were in between their playoff runs, between the Pau Gasol runs and then the Core Four. And so those teams weren't very good, but when it was like Rudy Gay on there was still a fantastic 2K player. And I felt like there was just, if you had the certain type player on those older 2K games, you could just use that one player and kind of just go off, I guess, with him. I could put up 50 points with Rudy Gay against my friends all day, even though they might be picking up Kobe Bryant and the Lakers or whoever it was back then, or Boston and their big three. But then as the Grizzlies kind of progressed in real life, and then their 2K roster came out, it was kind of not the, they didn't really have the, I guess the video game, the greatest video game roster when it was Zach Randolph, kind of the go-to guy in the, as far as the real life Grizzlies went for scoring in 2K, it was kind of not as easy, or maybe not as quite as fun to use a guy like Zach Randolph to post up down low and have Marc Gasol doing the same thing. Mike Conley was kind of coming in at that point. And then of course, Tony Allen, defense isn't really what you do on video games. So it is exciting now with kind of the new shift in the era of the Grizzlies, what that's going to look like as far as on a video game, when you got a guy like Jaren Jackson Jr., who's obviously going to, you know, have a lot of highlight dunks and can shoot the three. Because, you know, that's what video games are all about, is the big dunks and the deep threes. And then you got Ja Morant coming in, who obviously is a freakish athlete, and that just goes over well on 2K. And so, you know, Brandon Clark, the same thing. And so it's kind of a nice shift as far as video games go, because I would always pick up the six with Zebo and Marc Gasol and try to post up my friends, and they would just kind of get annoyed with me posting up when they're just shooting threes and trying to do alley-oops. So it's going to be a nice little change of pace on 2K with the new roster kind of makeover.
And the thing that I'll say is this, is that I completely agree with you. I was so disappointed over the years when it came to the Grizzlies roster, because they just had no scoring. The Grizzlies were always portrayed as being worse than they actually were in real life, because they just did not have, they probably were the one team who their style of play in reality was the most limited in what you wanted to find on a 2K setup. But the thing that I'll say is that for many years, obviously, it was a good setup if you were a my player guy, because it allowed for you to be able – everybody wants offense when it comes to my player. And the Grizzlies were one of the teams, probably the team that needed offense the most. So being a wing on the Grizzlies was a thing that I did for years. But one thing that I will say is this. In this year's 2K, there's more of a story mode to it than there has been in the past, which is a good thing. But there are some consistencies with this new version of 2K, especially if you want to go my player with the Grizzlies. Now, Grant, I'll ask you before I get into that in depth, when you did my player on past copies, what style did you like? What do you feel made you happiest as far as developing a my player profile?
Well, you actually brought up a good point. The Grizzlies did kind of have that perfect setup for you to create yourself kind of as a wing player, because that's kind of always – and, you know, with the core four, the kind of the missing piece was that scoring wing. So that was always a great kind of player to create if you were going to add them to the Grizzlies roster. But as far as just, like, in general, if you're doing the story mode, because a lot of times you might not end up, if you kind of just follow the way the story goes, you might not end up on the Grizzlies. I guess, you know, when it comes to video games, you always want to have the ball and you want to score. So I kind of always made myself a point guard just so I could have – kind of control of the game, and always as far as, you know, of course in a video game you're just trying to build your stats on your my player mode. So if you're a point guard and you make yourself at least big enough to get rebounds, you can go for those triple doubles a little bit easier. Just go out and try to get 10 points in the first quarter, work on some assists, and hope you're lucky enough to get 10 rebounds. And I'm just going for the triple doubles as much as I can, kind of boost my pad my stats, I guess.
So then here's the take that I have from this 2K is that, you know, this time around, it's focused on four key areas. It's focused on you being a slasher, a defender, a shooter, or a playmaker. And the thing that I'll say is this, is that I will rank them in terms of, you know, in the past, how quickly these skill sets would allow for you to develop your player. And it truly felt like that it went defender, playmaker, shooter, and slasher. I ranked them in order of, if this was your player's type of play, your skills that you would develop, those strengths, like for instance, your strength as a defender, that's likely going to get you more consistent points. It's going to help you evolve faster than, you know, other skill sets, like, you know, being just a pure shooter or a slasher. I actually am an advocate for that this year, and it may not make much sense with the fact that, you know, everybody wants to play offense, and the Grizzlies now have more exciting offensive potential on the game. But think about it, though. This Grizzlies team also has a lot of defensive potential. And if you create a player that has defense as his top priority along with shooting, I think that that's going to be the best setup for you to get the most out of the game. If you make your player a defender to go along with the rest of the Grizzlies defenders, you're going to have so many opportunities to be able to create turnovers. And if you create a turnover and they get on the fast break, the athleticism of the other players who are going to be simulated, that's going to allow for you to be able to gain extra points on fast break. Or you could be a shooter and you could get extra points on a fast break yourself. You could allow for your player to go up a full grade, like from a C+ to a B- by doing it that way. So I think for anybody that's listening that wants to know kind of the route to go to make the most of their my player profile through the Grizzlies, go choose, make sure that you choose your two primary skill sets as defender and shooter, because it's the best combination for you to get points in bunches. The reason why you want to go shooter over playmaker is because I still think you're going to be able to get playmaking points by being able to pass to the different athletes and, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. down low, Ja Morant can get good looks, so on and so forth. But I think getting the most out of your player as a shooter and as a defender, I think that is the way to go. Your thoughts on that, Grant? I mean, you know, do you feel like that makes some sense for those who may want to, you know, make the most of their my player profiles in this year's setup with the new roster in place?
Yeah, I mean, you bring up some good points. I mean, especially when you got someone like Ja Morant, who's going to be controlling the ball, and he's going to be able to find you on those open threes, having that shooter kind of boost to your players going to be super helpful. And like you said, with all those athletes, if you're going to be able to force turnovers, you're going to have a lot of opportunities on the fast break to either get points or pick up some assists. So that does make a lot of sense as far as being able to help your grade get boosted on each individual game. I think I'm going to have to use that strategy when I finally am able to pick up 2K20 this year, which unfortunately is probably going to have to wait till Black Friday like it did last year, just with how busy I am this time of the year with school starting. But I think I like that idea. I think that's a strategy I'm going to go for.
I don't really do a lot of the online play myself just because I never have. It's just always been a game that I enjoyed playing by myself. Though I will say that the online setup this year does seem like it's more geared towards you developing your players compared to other online players and things such as that. But just a lot of opportunities that are out there through this game. You know, they've implemented a story mode. Don't just skip through all the theatrical pieces. There's actually some good acting in there. I know Idris Elba's in there amongst other people. Rosario Dawson. So it's a pretty cool storyline as well. But at the end of the day, a lot of opportunity there the Grizzlies fans are going to find this type of setup more enjoyable just because the overall skill set of the roster seems so more projectable now to a video game style of play than past rosters. So hopefully a lot of fans will get the most out of it and they'll play hours of it and enjoy it. And since we're probably going to have a pretty long losing season, it'll be just another way for them to be able to truly enjoy the new young core that's in place. That actually is going to wrap us up for this Tuesday edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Me and Grant will actually be back with you two more times this week, once on Wednesday and once on Friday. Some subjects we're going to discuss, we're going to look at some Grizzlies from a fantasy perspective. Obviously, this past weekend, you know, football started up, the phenomenon that always hits the nation this time. Me and Grant are both big players, is fantasy football. But right now, you're starting to see fantasy basketball drafts pick up. Some different perspectives on that. We'll also talk about some of the fashion releases that are going on across the NBA. Some fun things being revealed from teams around the NBA. Give our thoughts on that, amongst other things. Grant, do you have anything to add before we head out for the evening?
No, I just appreciate you having me on. It was a lot of fun, and I can't wait to talk about the all the jerseys that the teams are going to be bringing out this year. You know, bringing back those retro jerseys from the 90s. I've actually got something in the works that's going to be going up on the Locked On Grizz Patreon page, kind of about the history of the Grizzlies, original Vancouver Grizzlies jerseys that everybody, you know, was really excited about when they announced those back in August. Actually, speaking of 2K, I'm sure that's the jersey that we'll see the most when people are playing with the Grizzlies is that Vancouver Grizzlies jersey. So looking forward to talking about that as well.
Agreed. And that's something that I would highly encourage anybody that's listening. If you ever just want to enjoy a good basketball story, go back and read how some of these designs came to be. I know a very popular one is the Toronto Raptors, Velociraptor, look that the purple one that they had that they're bringing back this year. That's a fun one. Great story behind it. So just, you know, a lot of different things going on that we want to discuss and enjoy giving our perspective on. But again, my name is Sean Coleman, joined along with Grant Hall. Grant, thank you so much for joining us tonight. But we will see you again on the Wednesday edition of Locked On Grizzlies. Hope you have a great day. Until then, and thanks for listening to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.